Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
The Netflix series The Queen's Gambit has become an instant phenomenon since it was released last month. It tells the fictional story of orphaned chess prodigy Bette Harmon in the Cold War era, and the show's popularity has led to a 125% surge, they say, in sales of chess sets and books. And it's introducing the game to a whole new audience, and it's proving its credentials with chess players as well. Una O'Boyle is an international chess player who has represented Ireland. She's a chess teacher and the author of the first chess book in Irish, and she's with me now to talk about the resurgence of the game. Una, there you are. Are you all right this Saturday afternoon?
Sure, I'm grand, Dave. How is yourself?
Myself is great. Listen, The Queen's Gambit, it's given people an insight into a world that not many people knew an awful lot about until now. Now, here you go. You're going to have to put on your everything professor hat here. Why do you think that it has resonated with people in the way it has, Una?
Well, do you know, I've had to do a lot of thinking about that because I don't know, as a chess player, you're talking about a non-chess player looking at it. But, do you know, I think it's just a love story, a simple love story between, like, the main character, Bette Harmon, and the game of chess.
Yeah, and it is, isn't it? Yeah,
it is, yeah. And it's also kind of maybe the underdog story of chess being played in the basement in a dark place, and Bette coming from an orphanage. So they both characters start in a dark place.
Yeah.
And through the series, you know, it's brought to a magnificent arena.
Yeah, I mean, you're watching this thing, you're thinking Magdalene Andres for the first few episodes kind of thing.
Yeah, you know? It's a little dark.
Yeah, it is dark. And then the tranquilizers and all the rest, which, you know, ultimately means she has to grapple with this substance abuse issue.
Yeah, but the other thing as well, I think the viewer, the non-chess playing viewer, is getting a very basic chess lesson on how to play the game. And they realise that it's actually a really, really simple game to play. And the whole myth of having to be brainy and stuff is kind of whacked on the head, I think.
Yeah, I would have thought you would have had to be brainy. I don't know. I mean, like, do you think, what is it? You say it's a simple game to play. Maybe a simple game to understand their rules, but is it a simple game to play, yeah?
Yeah, well, there are all these different levels in a chess, like in any sport. Mm. You know, there are young children who play soccer, they kick a ball around, they've learned the basics of soccer. And the basics are simple, but just like chess and soccer, I think, are so similar in that in soccer, to really play at a high level, you have to learn the tactics, you have to learn the patterns, you have to understand how the pieces, the players move.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like, soccer is like that. It's like choreography in terms of just trying to get it all together.
Yeah.
It really is, yeah. But also, the one move ahead, or two moves ahead, or three moves ahead bit, that's very important too, isn't it? I mean, like what happens with this thing, one of the things that drew people into this series, I presume, is just the visuals as well. Las Vegas, Mexico, Paris, Moscow. And it's all kind of cool. And you're with her all the way, aren't you?
Well, I was more enamored by the clothes, I have to say, as opposed
God,
to...
God, here we go again. Have you seen The Undoing, have you, with what's he call her, Nicole Kidman and all that? And the whole thing is the biggest star of this six-part series with Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman is the blinking coats she's wearing. They're selling
all over
the world.
Dave, well, you don't understand women.
No, I didn't know. I'll tell you, one thing I loved about this game, at least about this series, the mother, thought she was fantastic.
And she was another character that kind of started off as being this unlikely hero, so to speak.
Very much so.
And she just developed into this woman that you just loved.
Yeah, she's a very famous movie director, you know. She made some really big movies in the last couple of years. Anyway.
Well, I'll have to check that out. Yes.
There you are. Anyway, let's take a look at you, because I did mention earlier on just about representing Ireland and all the rest and being a chess teacher and author of the first chess book in Irish and etc. And by the way, if anybody has any chess questions, Una can answer them, not me. 51552. When did you first start playing chess, Una?
Well, I started, my father taught all of us at home, there were five of us, how to play, and myself and my two brothers kind of took it up, but they were kind of very quick to take advantage of my tactical weaknesses, me being younger. But then I kind of learned from them, I think, because you'll only learn from people better than you. And I learned from them, and then Dad used to bring us to tournaments around the country, and I could stay out late on a Tuesday night, which was really good as a youngster.
So wait a minute, you went around the country on a Tuesday night to chess tournaments?
No, well, I would have gone to the local chess club in Drogheda.
Right.
And then he would bring us on, like, schools competitions. But I'd never get to play girl. It was really, really interesting. But I at the same time, I didn't really care. I just wanted to play chess. And I didn't even notice that there were no girls. It was only, you know, later on in life.
Wow, that's,
oh God,
that's a bit like the programme itself. Okay, so let's take a look at this here, because I'm going to ask that question again in some ways, because when I asked when did you start playing chess, what actual age were you, and is age important?
I don't know the answer to that. I think, like, young children don't have any preconceptions that they're not going to be able to grasp the game as adults. It's just like you said earlier on. You thought that it's a game for just brainy people. It's not. But children don't have that concept. So they just get stuck in and want to learn it. So if you can whack that idea out of your head and everybody else's head, it's not for brainy people. It's a simple game and it's a magnificent game.
All right, well, then let's have a look at then a different way of looking at it. Is it a particular kind of mind that really helps in some ways? Like, you know, what was it that you loved about it?
I do think it's a particular kind of mind. I've always loved maths and puzzles and things like that. But I've always been crap at crosswords. So I do think it is a particular type of mind that brings the game to a higher level. But you don't have to play at a higher level. Play at a level that just excites you.
Okay, and you did that, and you were able to do that. Does it help to be eccentric, different?
Well, the chess community are as depicted in the
program. Damn, I thought I'd get away with asking that innocently.
Yeah, we are considered to be oddities, and I suppose we are.
No, hold on, I didn't mean to go that far. Jeez, that's a bit of a leap. No, hold on. Pull back a little bit there. No, I mean, like, just...
No, I am holding back. Hold on.
Okay.
But they are just, they're gorgeous, because I think the game of chess teaches empathy.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things, there are lots of things that the game can teach you, but empathy, and as a result, I think chess players are the kindest, empathetic. Can you say that word for me, please?
Absolutely. Empathetic will do fine.
They're just a gorgeous group of people. I'm so generous and kind.
So, you know, one of the things is because, I presume, because you have to get into somebody else's head, and that it's very good at sharpening your own mind and concentration, you get in there and you say, hey, that's a nice head, and, you know, let's all get on well.
Exactly. That's why I think, as well, I think it should be used in kind of addiction services, because I think with, you know, substance abuse addiction, which was tapped into in the series, like, if you respect your brain and mind, see it properly, I think you might treat it a little nicer, just like Beth Harmon did.
Well, now, Beth became obsessed. She had an addiction of a few things, but in the show, chess becomes an addiction for Beth. Is it the type of thing that you can become obsessed with, I mean, really obsessed with, if you're good at it?
See, I don't think she was addicted to it. She just had a love affair with it.
Well, that's true as well, of course. Yeah, right. She kind of fell into it with the janitor, like, just kind of went, yeah, give us a go of that. What are you playing there when she started off? Yeah.
But she, and it was the visual. I mean, with all love affairs, you know, you get attracted by the visual, and then you want to get a little deeper into the soul of the character that you fall in love with, as she did.
Yeah, you see, this—it's a fictitious. It's not a true story, and it could easily go to another series with all the success as well. But I mean, is it kind of slightly based on, or could you say it could possibly be ever so slightly based on Bobby Fischer? The US chess prodigy. You see, it's a bit like, you know, it's terrible now, because he might have been well balanced at one stage, but he certainly wasn't after a while.
Yeah, he did go off his rocker a little. I think maybe sorry,
Professor, that's the medical term I was looking for. He kind of went off his rocker, didn't he?
I think he just wasn't playing chess at the time. Maybe that's what it was.
Right, yeah, I suppose so, yeah. But I mean, he became, like, mad into cults and very anti-American, very anti-Jewish and all this kind of thing, didn't he? He kind of dirtied his bib big time with a lot of people, but anyway.
Yeah, but I was more interested interested in his chess world. So all the other politics doesn't really interest me.
Right, you know your man with the, yeah, you know your man, the guy she gets a lot of help from after a while, who wears the hat, the real sort of whatever his name is in the series.
Benny Watts.
Yeah. Well, him.
Yeah, go on.
No, but like when he's talking to her, when he's trying to get her to do things and all the rest of that, he's very much into, like, you know, you need to study other people's chess games. Did you study other people's chess games?
Well, I have to say, I'd be a bit of a messer. And I did study a little bit, but basically I got my coaching from eavesdropping on other chess players. Mm. So I go to tournaments, I'd play, I'd eavesdrop on, like, chess players, Mark Hebden, Melo Caneda, Johnny Jones, Mark Wynn. And I would listen. That's how I got my coaching. And that's how I studied, by listening and eavesdropping and sneaking into the rooms where they were analysing games.
But, like, you know, like the way they get to talk after a while is they can remember, like, if somebody mentions two people, they instantly remember every move of the game, in the same way as people do talk about football or talk about, you know, rock music or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like during a chess game, you're so involved and your brain is working. So you're going to remember all those little tactics that you had a go at that didn't work and ones that did work.
And so do you think that it's important to be kind of as well-rounded as you can possibly be and live a balanced life, Una?
Ah, God, no. What's a balanced life?
Anyway? No idea.
Come on, you have a balanced life.
Absolutely. I have my muesli at 6 o'clock every morning. Listen, come here.
That's grand, but a bit of lateral thinking goes a long way, doesn't it?
The old lateral thinking, indeed, yeah. I remember all those things people like to give you. Okay, a man is on a block of ice and he falls through a lift and blah, blah, blah. And I was going, just give me the answer. Anyway, listen, we're talking chess here, right? So the show itself, the show itself, it doesn't really touch on this, but you have earlier on. It's a fairly male-dominated arena. It certainly was, and I presume probably is. I don't know. I mean, did you ever come across misogyny in your time on the competition circuit?
Oh my God, Dave, how could you say this?
In other words, you did. You're trying to hide it.
Yeah, I mean, I love the way that it didn't really touch on it very much in the series, because it can be quite a dark subject. And, like, I organised Gary Kasparov to come over to Ireland with magnificent Eamon Keogh, and he spent a lot of the time, like, warding off the man who wanted destroy it because there was a woman organising it, and it was very, very difficult. And it kind of made me think about, you know, recently I've been hearing of politicians, female politicians, getting horrendous abuse online, and it was like that. It was exactly the same, and I just, it's an awful thing that women, in particularly in politics, have to go through that, and it is women that get this mostly from men. I'm really sorry to say, but it's true. But it was, I think that element is gone in chess now, and there was a lot of embarrassment among the men that this happened. Okay. But it did, and it's gone, and I'm dying to get back playing chess again.
Wait a minute, that this happened. This, like, we're talking only 6 years ago. You were instrumental in getting Garry Kasparov over to Ireland here, and you got a bit of stick, as you're saying, from players who, you kind of feel that they begrudged the fact that a woman was doing as well as she was, or making as much noise as she was, or whatever. Just on the Garry Kasparov thing, who is he and what is he? What did he do?
Garry Kasparov.
I know. Listen, wait a minute. No, tell the listeners. Of course I know, Gary. Me and Gaza, we're like that.
He's probably the greatest ever chess player. He's the Pelé of chess.
He's not the Maradona of chess. He's still alive, is he?
Yeah, I'm really sorry. It's the Maradona of chess. Sorry about that. Okay,
Garry Kasparov then is like, I saw one of them on some station the other day, and some woman accused him of being sexist way back in time. He said, look, that was 30 or 40 years ago, wasn't him, was it? I think it was him, actually.
I think it was Susan Potter had said that, but he had met her in later years, and he is not a misogynist. He was so kind to me and so respectful of me when he came over. He's a good man. He's an odd man.
By the way, when he came over, did he play and did he win every match?
No, he didn't play. It was basically related to chess politics, world chess politics. Oh. that's how I sneakily got him over with Amy. So he came over and it was, you know, looking for votes, basically. And so we just had events where chess players and children were able to meet him and talk to him.
Very good. And you say he was great. By the way, there's a text here from somebody who just says... And I said earlier on, I presume it's in reference to that, is it? That like, you know, that possibly the nearest thing to the true story of the Queen's Gambit is, you know, maybe Bobby Fischer. But the text here says, look up Lisa Lane's story, read the Queen's Gambit. She was a US chess player. Is that, do you know Lisa Lane?
No, I don't actually. But I've seen parallel stories of women who have been extraordinary in chess.
Yeah.
Years ago, when women basically were supposed to be in the kitchen once upon a time. But, and so there are a number of those wonderful stories of women who were extraordinary, but probably weren't given the space at the time. And maybe they are now. I think there's more room. I think the Polgar sisters, did you ever hear the Polgar sisters?
No.
From Hungary.
No.
They are the greatest female chess players of all time, Judith Polgar. But they have certainly made chess more accessible, I think, for women, or given it, I don't know, a very positive image for women.
Okay, so you yourself, let's just take a look here, because I presume it's really important to keep your mind active, and I'm not too sure exactly how you actually train to keep fit for your matches. Maybe it's start with Sudoku for breakfast and see where it goes from there. I don't know.
No, you just play chess.
Just play chess, of course, yes, obviously. Yeah, yeah, yeah. By the way, Una, you teach chess to kids. You published a book. It teaches young people the basics through Irish, and now it's been translated into English as well. I presume you do study classic games. It's part of training, is it?
I do, and I just started writing a new book, and it's on traps. And I think children are absolutely fascinated by tricks in the game.
Yeah.
And although, you know, and so it's good to know or access a child's mind through what they love, which is tricks and being a devil on the board. And it's just such a good tool for children. I can't talk about it enough. It's a magnificent tool. And I've been trying to get it on school curriculum. The Irish Chess Union, ICU, that I have been doing enormous work in teaching teachers so that they can bring the tool into the classroom.
Right.
And it's movesforlife.ie is the website. Any teachers out there who want to bring this tool, like it's been proven to improve maths, reading.
Sorry, it's what for life.ie?
Moves for life.
Spell it.
M-O-V-E-S.
Oh, move. I thought I said loose for a second there. Okay,
oh, sorry,
move for life.
Sorry,
listen, Una, we have
me
to go.
Okay.
Oh, really, me, the accent. No, wait a minute, it's loud. It must be a loud accent.
Wait,
but you said Drogheda.
Yeah, I know, but that's 5 miles up the road. That's the closest chess club.
I just thought I'd catch out. I should have known better. Okay, well, listen, Una, thanks a million for talking to us. International chess player, musician, author.
God,
I didn't even get the music. Thanks a million for joining me on the programme. So thanks very much there, Una. Brilliant.
Thank you so much, Dave. You're a star.
You're a star yourself.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.